Hey everybody, welcome to a gathering of spirits, because you're spirit beings. You got a soul, you got a body, and you're led by the Spirit of God. So good afternoon, good evening, good morning. This is a gathering in, what month is this, October? Well, live recording October something, October 21st. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, because yesterday was the 20th. I think we're right. And let's pull that down a little bit. That's better. Sorry for shaking y'all on Facebook. I'm going to be in Matthew 13. And for those who were waiting for a invite, I've gotten really bad this last month. I've been like either sending no invites at all or these last minute things. It's not because I'm lazy. It's because I didn't know if I was supposed to do one. Last week I was supposed to do one and not send an invite out. This week I wasn't sure, but I got this message that seemed to me needed to go out. I'm also going to post this on my podcast. Well, if you're not a, what's the name of my podcast? If you're not subscribing, it's a free subscription. There's like 70 plus, I think I'm on 80 now, messages out there. So I'll say it's New Mystic. Oh, newmystic.net is my website. It's New Mystic. I don't know what it's called. New Mystic. Something Mystic. Podomatic. And you gotta search for it. There's a link someplace on my group page. You can look at it. But I would think I'd have more followers on that page than the strange people. I was getting competitive for a while. There's a group called Spirituality. And most of those spiritual groups are a different spirit. So for those who are the right spirit, like Joshua and Caleb in the Old Testament, you should follow me so we can do it. Yeah. Okay, so if you got a Bible or a phone with a great app, turn to Matthew 13. And Matthew 13 may be one of my new go-to chapters. I'm still very much into Matthew 17. I need to back up. So what I want to do, I want to read you this verse that, oh, I keep forgetting, I've got to admit people to the Zoom deal. So I had this, which came to mind was Matt, so write this down. We're going to focus on Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Okay, but before we get there, we're going to get some context. And so that was the scriptures that came to mind that came with the unction. I don't know. Seemed like I need to talk about them. And the first thing that came to mind was that this parable of the kingdom will give... was giving me, and I believe give you, some really good insight into the time we're in. So if you're listening to this in calendar year 2020, in the fall, before North America has their election. Did New Zealand have their election yet? I'm not sure, because I'm not in New Zealand. But someone from New Zealand let me know. I wrote down, well, turn to... Yeah, so we're going to be jumping back and forth in Matthew 13. And for those who know it, it's got a lot of parables in there. Because Jesus is talking. So look up, I'm going to read this, Matthew 13, 11 through 12. And I titled this, How to Live in This Era, or in This Time Frame, in This Season, right? Knowing the season helps you to live. Okay, get this right. Knowing the time and season you in will help you live. Do not understand time and season from Facebook or any other media. TV, radio, not the best source, okay? So, Matthew 13, verses 11 and 12. And it says, verses 11 to 12, and he, this is Amplified version, and he replied to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him more will be given, and he will be furnished richly, so that he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Okay. On the most key spiritual knowledges. Knowledges? What's the plural of knowledge? It's just knowledge. Knowledge, not knowledges. Stop that. So, on the key, paramount, critical, foundational, foremost knowledge you need is the fact that you need a Savior, you need a Lord, that you're designed to be inhabited by, I guess it was Native American, the Great Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. You're designed to be inhabited by the King of Glory. You're designed to be inhabited by the Godhead. So that's the key knowledge, right? So because those who are listening to it and continue to listen to this message here, most likely you're inhabited by him. You're his possession, okay? You're living a Galatians 2:20 life. If you're not walking that, you know, again, this is the beginning, right? So you can have that knowledge, but you'll grow with it. So you cannot grow in the kingdom without this base truth, okay? That's what it says. For whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him more will be given. So once you have the foundation of God is God. Anyway, he's who he is. And once you know that truth, then you can be his people, right? And then that relationship of walking as his people or walking in union with the Father base. You're not growing. You're not getting anything else unless you know that. Okay. So, and this is how we're going to live in this era. So, granted the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of earth. You can get some understanding of earth stuff from TV, but if you want to be effective and have a to be in the know, to have the advantage, to not be under circumstances and be surprised at the corner, you need to take Jesus' advice and say, I've left, and I'm sending you my spirit, and he will guide you in all things. So don't be tapping into earth sources, okay, but if you want to be advantaged, you want to see things from your birthright, from your birth perspective, and that's above. Okay. Verse 17 is interesting. Also giving you a better aspect of timing. Let me read that to you. I know you're thinking, you can't read the verses out of order. I used to believe that too. It's always good to read in context, so go back and read the whole chapter through. But you're in my class now, so bear with me. Now, some of you are already going through and reading verse 1 and going down to catch up. You can do that. I used to do that too. And those who listen to the recording, you can put pause and read the whole chapter and go back and follow me as I skip through. Verse 17, truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous men, men who are upright and right standing with God, yearn to see what you see, and they did not see it. And they learned to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. Okay? This is the time you're in. I guess verse 16, a little more context of verse 17. The blessed, happy fortune to be envied are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. The fact that you are living right now, at least you're living, if you're listening to this recording, did my recordings get listened to in heaven? I think not, because there was one time I went to speak spoke in Canada, and the Lord told me that I was going there so that these angels could hear, and I said, well, the angels are angels, they can come to Virginia where I'm at. So there's something about, there's a time-space gulf, but I do know that there were people that came to a friend of mine's meeting. Or friends. I need to talk to him. I talked a long time. He's running for government in New Zealand. If I was a good friend, I would have talked to him. But anyway, but the point is, just speaking out into an environment, does that mean that your teaching revelation crosses the veil to that side? I think those who need to hear in the cloud of witnesses, they can come on this side here. And I know that I've titled this gathering for the last year plus as a gathering of spirits. And I know that in this house, and so I don't think they listen to the recording, but they can come live to this environment and hear this message. Okay. Therefore, I'm talking to y'all. So y'all, and so you're not, so those who have gone ahead or have already crossed inside the veil, they're not having firsthand experience what you're having. And some of you are going like, I don't want this experience. I've been trapped in my home for X months because of this COVID thing. And you're telling me that the saints of days gone by are envious of you? Yeah. That's what we're we got to see our times from the kingdom's perspective and not from earth's perspective. The earth is saying in the news in most places that this is the worst of times. But from the kingdom's perspective, from your king's perspective, it's the best of times. That changes everything all around. What the blank? How can this be the best of times when a few months ago we were standing in line for toilet paper? Talk about a good way to go, okay. The world is saying buy toilet paper, and a lot of us listen to it, and we've got stacks and stacks or rolls and rolls of toilet paper because of the fear of the great paper shortage. Yeah, anyway. So, is it possible from the Father's perspective that we're living in the best of times? Yeah, everything, because if God be for you, nothing can stand against you. That's something that's not a secret. That's a billboard promise from as a kingdom citizen, okay? But we got to change our perspective when we're, you know, looking at people. I mean, you know, the King of Glory is dwelling in you. Man, can we have a bad day? Well, yeah, we can. But why should we have a bad day? You can have a bad second, a bad minute. But you have a choice to dwell on how you perceive the day and the time and the season, or how the Father knows what's going on in this time and season. I'm saying we need to figure out how to choose this thing, and we're kind of getting to that a little bit, how to see this time, how to live in this time frame. We can live in fear, live by faith. And the Bible says the just live by faith. I think that's a commandment, but you know how we are with commandments. We kind of act like we're not soldiers, or act like we have a choice. You have a choice. But when you enlisted, I think we're supposed to give up our choice and learn to accept his choice. I'm still working on that myself. All right. Matthew 13, 11 and 12, how to live in this era. Era, E-R-A. Matthew, what did I say? Matthew. Matthew 13, 17, what's going on from a heaven perspective? Okay. I listened to a song on my flight to Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago, and I finally got what they were talking about. The name of the song is G.O.A.T. It spells out GOAT. It's an acronym, and I didn't know what it stood for like, and I downloaded the album, liked the beat, didn't know the full word, and finally, it's taken me like a month to get the word. But the G.O.A.T. stands for Greatest of All Time. And it took me a whole flight to realize that, oh my gosh, he's not talking about... So I met Muhammad Ali, and he would, when he was in his heyday, when he was on the top of the world, he would talk about he was the greatest of all time, the best boxer ever lived. And so when I heard that phrase, greatest of all time, I was thinking of people who made those proclamations. You know, and you're like going, dude, you better back that up, you know. But in this sense here, the greatest of all time, you don't have to back it up. The Father has placed you on earth in your location in this time period so that you be the greatest of all time. Because you're supposed to be over time, not under time. And if you respect your Father, your Heavenly Father, you will realize He has placed you not randomly, but strategically, so that your life in this time frame will cause you to be the greatest of all time, because you're not competing against me or other people. You're competing against you. Will you walk out the script, the destiny that's been laid out before you? God laid out Ephesians 2:10, you're His workmanship, created to walk in good works. If you run the race which has been designed for you, if you do the thing you were designed to do, you'll be the greatest in your time. And all of heaven, everyone on the veil knows that, and that's why they're looking at you. That whole cloud of witnesses surrounding is looking at us going like, what the hey? They got to live in that season, and they were fashioned, designed, equipped to overcome everything. There's nothing you face that you weren't designed, prepared before you. You were prepared before you broke out the womb to be in 2010. What 2010? Well, 2010, 2020. What year are we in? In 2010 and 2020. And those what you're here for. I was talking to someone a few days ago about kind of life and death thingy while I was thinking it. And so, you know, I hate death. And I was kind of had the perspective that I was kind of the whole thing about premature death, right? And so I don't believe in premature death. No, I think it happens. But it's not about premature to the age of 120 or 140. I was thinking that. So in my mind, until like a few days ago, I thought if you died before 140, then that was premature. And I've had to got corrected on that. If you die before you finish your race, that's premature. Now, the only one that knows your race is, you're supposed to know your race, because you need to spend time with your Father who laid out the track. He can tell you about that. So that's, some people call it your scroll. Do you know your scroll? Jesus said, we came in Hebrews, it says of Him that He came to do all that is written of Him in the book. That's why you're on the planet, to do all that is written of you in the book. Now, if you do not finish your book, then you died too early. You're here on a mission to complete the mission. If you don't complete the mission, then you die too early. Okay? If you complete the mission at age 16, you're good to go. Okay, so if you complete your mission, which you signed up for, and you got anointed and prepared and sent to Earth, then good job. Okay, the mission is not to get to 140. The mission is to do all that is written in the book. That changed my perspective. So now I'm going like, okay, how can I help you fulfill your mission? Not just live the 140. Some of you are going like, my mission book says 210. Oh, okay. If you know that you're called to live at 210, let me know, because part of my gifting is to equip you to be in victory, which means to complete your plan or His plan for you. So that's just changed my whole ministry. I thought was my job was to get you to 120. And it's not my job. I got corrected. My job is to get you, to help you, to support you, and you fulfilling your mission. What does that mean? You need to know your mission. And your mission is not just to not sin, and it's not a list of nots, it's a list of do's. And you only do, anyway, I'm getting way ahead of stuff. But, so, let's get back to Matthew 13, shall we? So, okay, back to where I was. Now, you can read all of Matthew 13, but I want to get down to the parable that starts in verse 24. Let me see if I did that right. Yeah, he says, and another parable. So you can read the one before that. There's some good stuff there, too, but we're not going to go there. That's the parable. The parable starting in verse 1 or 2, before verse 24, is the parable of the sower. Very good. And actually, I remember years ago, decades ago, someone said the gospel, so the parable of the sower is in other New Testament books. I want to say the one in Luke says, if you don't understand this parable, you'll never understand any parable. That's a bold statement. If that be true, y'all better understand that one. The cool thing is Jesus explains it, so we got no excuse, right? So, anyway, let me read Matthew 13, 24 through 29. I mean, it's verse 30. Then I'm going to read Jesus' interpretation. So, yay, Jesus is going to explain to us. I don't have to go into heaven and bring down the revelation. I like doing that, but we don't have to do that here. But there'll be some revelations I want to share. All right, Matthew 13, 24. And it starts off with, in another parable, again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. Another parable he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. That's not so deep. Okay, but while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed also darnel. That's a weed that resembles wheat. Among the wheat and went on his way. So when the plant sprouted and formed grain, the weeds appeared also. Okay. And then in verse 27, and the servants of the owner came to him and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then how does it have darnel shoots or that wild wheat in it? And he replied, an enemy has done this. And the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and weed them out? He says, verse 29, no, lest you gather the wild wheat, weeds which resemble wheat, and you root up the true wheat along with it. Verse 30, very important. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will say to the reapers, gather that darnel first and bind it in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my granary. Okay, so that's a parable. And Jesus, you know, people go, why is he talking parables? Well, he says that. You can read that yourself. What I want to to pull up two things out of the parable before we go into Jesus explaining the parable, okay? Two things that jumped up when I was prepping. Observation from a previous time when I taught this was the first one. Beep, 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 beep. The first one is interesting, that the workers or the hirelings question the farmer. I thought you planted good seed. Okay. Now this is a relationship issue, a little lack of trust there. Because they were judging by what they saw and not by what they know. We need to live out of relationship, not out of observation. Now just write that down. That would take you a long way. What was the thing I wanted to say? The thing for today. What I just got was also in the Amplified. This other seed looked very similar to wheat. Okay. Good seed and deceptive seed. Okay. Remember, we're trying to understand the day we're living in. Okay. It looks so much like that someone could make a wrong judgment and deal with the wheat, as in, I'm going to go fix that and pull that wheat up, but it looks the same. So the farmer says, verse 30, let them grow together. And that's where I want to stay with right, real quick before we get into the Jesus explanation of this parable. Because when we get into the explanation, you're going to find out you're the good seed. That the father, or the farmer who sowed the seed, well, let's go ahead and skip there. Verse, go to verse 13, still in chapter 13, Let's go look at verse 37. While I'm scrolling, or if you're flipping, you can flip. And let's go here. So Jesus explains all the characters in the parable. Verse 37, he answered. Let's go on. Verse 36. And when everyone left the house, his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable of the darnel in the field." What's up with this strange seed that's growing up? Now this is where you get to be you. Why this is the most important time of your life. But be like a disciple. Don't try to figure out what's going on with your eyes. Don't do that. Go to Jesus and say, "What is going on?" Okay, this is the basis of spiritual knowledge. The source of your spiritual knowledge and understanding is not you. The source of understanding comes out of your relationship. Okay, you're thinking way too much. You need to be asking more. Stop thinking and start asking. Say it with me. I'm going, raise your hand. I solemnly swear, not to tell the truth, but to go to the truth. I solemnly swear not to think about the truth, but to go to the truth and to receive the truth. So help me God. Oh my gosh, that's the only way. So help me God. Raise it again. Say it with me. Raise your right hand and repeat. I solemnly swear. To go to the truth. To go to the truth. And stop trying to make it up and figure it out myself. Okay, be like the disciples. Verse 40. Is it verse 40? This is verse 37. Actually, verse 36. And his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us the parable." Be a disciple. Explain to us this COVID. Explain to us this strange election. Explain to us why the last 4 years, President Trump, how did he get there? Don't try to figure things out. Go to him and ask him. And he's a good father. He'll explain it to you. Going on, the explanation. The field, verse 38, the field is the world. Okay, so the sower of the good seed, he answered, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Son of Man, Jesus, God, the Godhead, you got that down? Okay, so on purpose, you've been placed here on purpose. Okay, on purpose. Your life has a purpose. I'm not sure. I didn't finish college. I didn't finish high school. I don't see a purpose. I did drugs. I didn't do drugs. I was good at this. My talents are gone. Stop looking at what you've done to be a factor in your value. Look to the one who placed you here. Father, why am I here? You know, I was a little slow. It took me until, what year was it? 1989? Was it 90? It was 88. 1988, the summer, I believe, until I asked the Father why I was on the planet. If you've not done that, you need to do that. And don't just ask one time. One time won't. Well, I had asked like for several hours. It wasn't that God was slow at answering. I was slow at receiving. Okay. Do not blame God for your slow receiving. He is faithful. He is faithful. Some of you and me, I was slow to receive. I did blame God. But he's the only one who's going to tell you the truth. He'll tell you the truth. You may be slow at processing and receiving. You may be in doubt and unbelief. The doubt filter will not allow you to hear the truth. You have to remove the doubt filter. You have to remove the fear filter. Those aren't filters. They're like non-penetrable membranes. Anyway, you must get in the place that you believe so you can receive. If you're not believing the Heavenly Father is good, and you're here for a purpose, well, you may not believe you're here for a purpose, but you got to believe he's good. You won't trust him. Hey, Bonnie, you won't trust him. You won't trust anything he says if you choose to be a non-believer. But again, the way you receive all revelation is first you must choose to believe. Then you'll receive. You're not going to receive unless you believe. Okay? And believing that God is good puts you in a position to receive. Okay, back to who's who. Verse 37, you know who sows. And notice he said he sows good seed. He put you, if you're listening to this, you're good seed. Okay? Your new declaration. I am good seed. Yes. Verse 38, the field is the world. And the good seed means the children of the kingdom. Whoa. That's good. It's us. The darnel is the children of the evil one. Okay, remember the darnel looks like wheat. And so when I was preparing this, I was like, what's this up with this wheat and this modified wheat? Now I know, hey Jordan, welcome to joining. I was thinking, and I got this little revelation, you know, so the devil does not put you in the world. Okay, you know that. You've not come out of hell and planted in the world. So just like what he did in Eden, he started talking to a good seed named Eve and a good seed named Adam and got them to leave their relationship, and they start doing some bad behavior. Okay. Now, that's what I'm thinking what goes on here. So way behind the deepness here. So somehow I believe that some good seed, got corrupted and you started doing some stuff. But the good thing about the kingdom is you can come back. Okay, get back on plan. Okay. So don't be afraid of the other seed. Don't be afraid of changing. Stay and love the Father. And the verse 39, and the enemy who sowed it is the devil. Now listen to this. This is a new definition of harvest. The harvest is the close and the consummation of the age. And the reapers are angels. Okay, this verse 39 is very, very key. Verse 39 tells you got an enemy. Okay. Verse 39 also tells you, gives you a definition of the harvest. I always thought the harvest was a bunch of people getting saved. The harvest is a time period. Harvest is a time period, like fall, spring, winter. It's a season. A season of the close of an age. There's a whole bunch of teachings out there, but the close of the age, but this tells you where you are. You're in the close of one age going into another age. Some people say it's the end of the church age, we're in the kingdom age. Whatever, realize you're in this age. Okay. Who else is involved in this age? The reapers, angels, angelic activity on the increase, not the decrease. Lots of angelic activity in the New Testament. All that stuff, you go, wow, I wish that was happening now. It's happening now. So turn your believer on and let the reapers be active in your life. In this season. In this season, lots of angelic activity for your good, for your benefit. Okay. They are designed. One of the things they're doing is to help you finish your race, help you to grow. Okay. This parable says grow. It doesn't say do wild things. It says your job is just to grow up in Jesus. I'm sorry I can't give the reference, but Paul's plan was so that Christ be formed in you, okay? Another thing is, if you would just focus on growing up in Jesus, that's all you got to do, okay? Don't be trying to find out who's bad wheat or good wheat, who's darnel, or who gets going to be reaped, who's going to get bound up, who's going in the fire. Just grow up, okay? How do we grow up? Spend time with your Heavenly Father. He will raise you up. Every good father, and he is, will father you. I just got the revelation earlier this year that my Father, who's in heaven, wants to father me. He wants to talk to me, train me, equip me, make me ready. Okay, good. He wants to make you ready too. Verse 41. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the causes of offense. Who is this? Persons by whom others are drawn into error or sin. There's a lot of that going on. And all who do iniquity and act wickedly. See, in this season, there's going to be an amazing separation, pulling out, and it's going on right now. Behind the scenes, it's about to come in front of us, because this is the time. Why didn't the pedophiles get pulled up in 1980 and 1970? I don't know. This wasn't harvest time. But we're in that time right now. There is a great gathering of these causers of offense. Persons by whom others are drawn into error or sin. All who do iniquity and act wickedly. God is really good at gathering these people. He says it right there. And it's happening. Okay. Let him do it. Your job is to grow up. Easy peasy. Just grow into your new restored divine nature. Grow up. And it says that verse 43. Here's what you're going to look like when you grow up. Verse 43. Then the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God, shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's what you're going to look like. All you got to do, hang with the Father. Let him water you. Pull your weeds out. Straighten your, what's it called when you're hunched over? Posture. Get your posture right. Get your mind right. Get your thinking right. Get your seeing right. The Father can do in his presence is fullness of joy. Every time you behold him, you become like him. Okay? That's growing up. Well, don't I got to go to a conference? No. Don't I got to go to Bible school? No. Unless it says so. But you don't gotta. What you get to do is grow up in him. Okay? You've been fashioned and formed. You've been made able to be like him. Right? Sorry, I don't have the reference here, but you can go Google it or word search it or whatever. He has given you everything for life and godliness. That's called growing up. You're a good seed. Okay? Let him mature you. Receive from him so you can be healthy, so you can be the righteous. And shine forth like in Matthew 17, verse 2, or is it verse 3. This says, and Jesus from his face shine forth light. That's full maturity. When the light which is in you, inside of you, you start manifesting, becoming the light of the world. And you're the Romans 8. All the earth, all creation is waiting for you to grow up. Yeah. Grow up equals manifest. Dun, dun, dun. Mystery revealed. You growing up, going from, let's get a little Greek here, going from technon to huos. Technon is immature child. Huos is mature son. Okay. We're in that process. Some are this way, some are this way, some in the middle, whatever. Stay in the process. Let the Father grow you up. Go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from high place to high place. That's your destiny. You will fulfill your plan on earth if you let the Father lead you. The word says that every son is led by the Spirit. That's the mark of a son. You're led. You're a good follower, right? The mark of a king, the word says in the Old Testament that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out. You're a king and a priest. You're a peculiar people because God is awesome. He loves you. Your love mark, which makes you peculiar, right? And if you respond to his love, then you'll grow up in his light. Ooh, that's good. Like a plant. Every plant needs light. You're a plant. You're a seed planted in earth. You need the light of the Heavenly Father to grow up into him. Look into his face. That's face-to-face relationship. That's the season we're in. We're in the season where the Father is shining on you. If you turn towards him, You'll grow into him. This is a guarantee. Turn towards him and you'll grow into him. Who's doing the work? He's doing the work. All you got to do is choose by turning, right? And he'll raise you up. Well, don't I got to fast for 40 days? Nope. Have I fasted 40 days? Yes. Is it mandatory? Nope. Mandatory growth is him. Only thing you need to be changed is your Heavenly Father. And he's fully accessible 24/7. Even more than that. Yeah. He's more accessible than 24/7. Because he's not bound by time. And you shouldn't be bound by time either. We're bound by choice and desire. And you have the ability to choose what you desire. And you'll have what you desire. So what do you desire, right? I desire. Well, some of our taste buds are not set for the glory, right? And that's a good reason to go to a conference. If you can't spell glory or don't know these terms, find some people who are just like odd, who are do things because they feel led to. These are those strange lovers of God. I found them, they scared me, so I didn't hang out with them. They couldn't explain why they were obedient. I thought you're supposed to be obedient so you wouldn't go to hell. I knew the rules. I was still a breaker of the rules, but I had a fear of hell, so I was doing some of the rules. I met people that had not only a personal relationship with the Lord, but they seemed to love him back. I was kind of okay with him loving, because I kept thinking he had to do something to get him to love you. And that whole thing about he loved us first while we were yet sinners really didn't sink in to me. I was like, nope, true. But we love because he first loved us. Or let me say it better like this. Once you start receiving his love, because he's already poured it out, we have the ability to reject it, you know. But once you let it in and let it soak and then start receiving, once you receive some love, you have the ability to give love. Then you get that process. Because the more love that you receive, the more you're changed. And then you do go from, I was like, levels of hardness to levels of softness. So, you know, level one glory is you start believing you're loved. Not because of anything you do. You actually cannot cause God to love you more or to love you less. Nothing you can do about that. He has set his love on you. So just receive it. Or start learning to receive it. Or find some people that just believe it. I think I was faking it for a long time. So I met some folks. And not a lot of them, because there's not... Sad. Well, back in my day, there wasn't a lot. But they stand out. And I was just curious to see if they were just loving God during good times. They're loving God all the time. And those are the ones you want to... They're the legitimate ones, right? Those are the ones that... wow, okay. They can't explain it. And they don't even want to explain it. They're just like going, whatever. You know, because I wanted give me 85 reasons why you love God. And there we go. I love him. And I'm like, well, why should I love him? Because he loves you. And I was like, not good enough. Because I had this judging mentality. And well, actually, I thought I wasn't worthy of love. And which I don't think we are. Well, we are because he says we are. But I had a hard time with that. Just accepting. And I was slow to accept. But I kept going to those... To places that people, you know, gatherings of worship. You know, a good worship gathering is a place where people come, not just to sing a few songs or to feel good, but to express their affections to the Father. I think, you know, some people would say, well, you got to do that at home. Well, if you don't know how to do it, you better go find a group of people who are doing it, and you want to imitate it, right? And, wow. I can remember the first time I raised my hands. Now, you're supposed to raise your hands in to worship and honor as a sign of affection, right? That was not my reason. The first time I raised my hands, there was a lady, an older woman. Now she's probably like my age, but back then she was old and decrepit. I was in my 20s. Is that your 20s? Yeah, maybe younger. I'll say 20. And I was at a Bible study group, and we would sing some songs. I wasn't sure why we sang songs, because I was still into Let's Get to the Word. I love teaching. I love information. I loved, I didn't know what revelation was, but I like hearing answers, right? Anyway, so we do the singing for a while. I'm not sure why she was in our group, because she wasn't our age. Anyway, this old lady, or old, way older than me, would raise her hands. And one day I thought, all right, it's on. And I was competing with this lady, and I'll never forget this. I was a college athlete. I was working out, I don't know, a good 20 hours a week, whatever. I don't know what she did, but this lady kicked my butt. I couldn't hold my hands up for more than a song and a half, and I'm up there looking at her going, I've got you, you know, and she's not thinking of me. I'm thinking of her. I'm looking at her. She is in love, and she is showing her affection to her Savior, and I'm across the room going like, I've got this. I'm taking you down, and I could not hold my arms up as long as this old lady could, and I would come, I think this was on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights. I think it was, I don't know what day it was, but this lady, again, her motivation was love, and I've learned since then, love never fails. Love is the best motivation. And I never told this lady that, you know, raise my hands because of you. But, you know, years later, I did change. But I would observe these people. I call them these people because they were peculiar. They were odd. They would do things that weren't rational. And love really isn't rational, right? And they would do things for him. Well, the for him or with him. I would do things for him so that I would get something from him. That was my motive. I do this for you, you give me something. I think they did things for him because they wanted to, which I didn't understand. You're just doing it for, what do you get out of this, right? So I didn't understand it. And they couldn't explain it. And I was frustrating. It frustrated me. But these are the people you want to hang out with. I'm telling you, if you'll stop leaning upon your understanding, trying to figure it out, and trust him, you'll change, okay? And you'll be as you were designed to be, a good seed. And you'll be a seed that, as you trust him and turn your face towards him, you'll grow into him. Guaranteed. So what I want to say here. How's that? We're in a season. We're in this season. So whether you Hebrew calendar 5780 to 5789, or your Greco-Roman calendar 2020 through 2029, we're in harvest time, the end of the age. In this age, seeds are growing up. Good seeds are growing up, as in you're going to see some amazing people who love God who are going to do some amazing things. You're going to be like, what? Cures for diseases that people thought there'd never be a cure. You're going to come out of these good seeds. Same time, you're going to see some wicked. I mean, because the other seeds are growing up too. You're going to see some amazing wickedness and some amazing God stuff. That's the age we're in. Now, if you look to TV to see the amazing God things, you'll see very few. If you look to TV, you're going to see some atrocities. Ooh. Beyond whatever. I mean, not the best place to see good seed. Yeah? So don't be looking there. Just look to the Father's face. Right? Don't be going to TV looking for information. Well, I need to know where the bad seed's at. No, you don't. You need to know where your Father's at and go spend time with him. That's what you need to know. We get so tempted with information. Like, I gotta know what happened these last few months? Oh, where are the rioters, right? don't we need to know who the rioters are? Don't we need to listen to the police band radio or the news so that we can know where the rioters are? Okay. Once you know where they are, what do? Do you run the opposite direction? Do you join them? Do you change your t-shirt? Do you go get you a Antifa black or put a B on your shirt for Black Lives Matter and join the crowd and they won't beat you up? You know, what are you going to do now that you know where they are located? Someone called me and said, they're in your neighborhood. And when they called me and told me, I was like, oh no. I thought, wait a minute. Okay. Don't go into fear. Don't be tensing up. Don't be getting a stick out and, you know, looking at your door. I was like, okay, calm down. What should I do? Well, Father knows best. Old TV show, but this is still true. If you get shocked, calm down. Ask the Father, what should I do? Sometimes it's, hey New Zealand. Brenda on Facebook, are your elections over in that country? If you could message me that, I mean here on the Facebook Live, that'd be great. Didn't know they were. Anyway, I just want to know. I lost my train of thought. Knowing things. So yeah, Father knows best. So in this situation, which is a few months ago, someone notified me there was rioting in my area. I did kind of go into a pause, anxiety, terror, maybe. Then came out of that and said, Father, what do I do? And if he tells you to lock the doors, you lock the doors. If he says, get in your car and drive off, you do whatever he says. What he told me to do was, actually, I don't think he told me. I went outside, looked around to see if they actually were on my street. You know, I know what I was going to do if I saw them. Hey, y'all got off my street. I didn't do that. I went outside, looked around, didn't see anything, came back inside. Then I think I asked the Father what to do. I recommend asking first, then act second. Don't be acting. Don't do me. Do he. Oh, so yes, the elections are over, or yes, you just wanted to smile. Come on, Brenda, type a little more. Yes, the election's over, or yes. I don't know. Well, I guess you said yes, so I guess the election. So, did Ian Johnson get a position in the government? I haven't. I know he ran. I don't know if he. I don't know the results of his running. So, you can put that in there too. And those on Zoom, Ian Johnson is a great man because I was a little sick because he had the same last name, but he's a great man anyway because he knows his Father. Who's in heaven? I was gonna say, ooh, my iPad is losing power. Where's my other record? I'm at 23%. Okay, so ask first, then act second. Ask a a word, then act. Another A word. So AA. I call it synonymous, but ask first, then act second. Don't be acting, then asking. It doesn't work out very well. So for me, I was told they were in the area. I acted, didn't ask for it. Went outside and looked around. Came inside, then asked. And I was told, lock my door and to take authority over to stop any looting, to stop any damage in the area. I think on the phone call, they already had burned a police car, I think. Some car. I don't know if it's a police car, just a regular car. And so I trusted my Father because he gave me advice, you know, take authority over damage. And I guess if I'd asked earlier, maybe I could stop that car from being burned. But I didn't. So, took authority over that and released peace and no damage. And did I not want them walking in my neighborhood? Well, that was okay with them walking in my neighborhood, but no actions. So always do, you know, when you ask, then act, Well, if you ask, he'll say something. Then I recommend doing what he says to the T. Don't add to that. Don't get all excited and go, I want to add this, Father, because it seems right. Don't do the seems right. I do that all the time. Doesn't go well. Okay. Anyway, so I hope you like this. I know it was some heaven direction and giving some good guidance. It's here, Matthew 13. And the Lord gives us a big hint. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man. We need to live from the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. So you need to know what's in heaven, okay? The rules of heaven, you're a citizen of heaven, how to live here in heaven so you can be effective on the earth, okay? We need to be heavenly minded so that we can be fruitful on earth. If you are earthly minded, you will not be fruitful in heaven or earth, okay? And you've got a mission, okay? You've been sent to earth because you're a good seed. The field is earth. You've been planted in the field to grow. And that's your purpose. All of us have a different mission, okay? And you can only fulfill this mission as a mature one, okay? And the mission is not to have an easy life and die at 120, okay? I got corrected. It's not it. Your mission is, which you will accept in Jesus' name, your mission is to fulfill all that was written of you in the book. Everything that's been written of you in Ephesians 2:10, so go check that out. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. All these good works which you're created to walk in, as you grow in Him, the fruit of your relationship is these effortless works. This isn't you striving out of the joy, the love, the pleasure out of the out of not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. You will do amazing things. On your own, you'll struggle. You may have good intentions, but you will struggle in your own strength. You're not designed to be fueled by soul power or willpower. You're designed to be fueled by His power, by Ruach HaKodesh, okay? Out of your divine union. That's good stuff. That's how you're designed, to be fueled by Him and not by good intentions, not by following some leader, some earthly leader, but fueled and empowered by love, because God is love. You've been designed to be fueled and powered by an unstoppable force called love, right? So, that's who you are. You're the greatest of all time. You're in this time to kick butt. And you simply kick butt against the enemy and the adversary by just turning your face to the Father, growing up in Him, not being a a plant that's not watered. You know, stay in the light, stay in the water. You know, don't be running away. And definitely don't get, don't allow yourself to get contorted or twisted into a false seed. That's just choosing the wrong relationship, right? You gotta get out of your head. Don't be thinking. Just grow. Just say, I choose life. And there's only life in the Father. There's only life in Jesus. There's only life in Yeshua. There's no life really in TV. So you're wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. I caught that today. I was, you know, doing work and put on Hulu. And nice little sound in the background. But I have a choice. I could put on some good teaching tapes and stuff in the background. And so I was like, I do like my action stuff. But there's Christian action stuff too. Anyway, make a choice. And live the life that you're called to live. And it'll be all good. Because I need y'all to grow up. So we can grow up. So we can make the most of our time. Yeah. We need to make the most of the roaring 20s, as someone said. of this decade of 2020 through 2029, of this decade of 5780 through 5789, we need to make the most of that time. Only way to do this is in Him. Okay? You know the scripture. In Him we move. In Him, I'll add a little bit, in Him we'll be effective on earth. And pleasing citizen in heaven. Alright? Alright, hope this wasn't too short, you know, but I hope it was power-packed and encouraging, because you're in the right place on this planet, and you're definitely in the right time. And you will not, and you will think, you'll come to believe that if you realize where you're seated in heavenly places, that we can see things from the Father's perspective. And since our God is for us, we're on the, we're in the know, we're in the right place, as the real people say, location, location, location. So you've been planted in the right earth, planted in the right field, in the right season, and all of your nourishment, resources, food is in the Father, and it's your choice to receive life or turn it away. So don't turn away from life. Turn into life. Okay. All right. Thank you. There's a couple of folks on Zoom that can go audio if you've got any thoughts, questions, or comments. Folks on Facebook Live, you can type in something, and if you type slow, I can read it and we can address that. If not, I'll go real slow. I'm gonna slowly approach the stop recording button and the finish button there, and my other recording button. I'm gonna turn that one off now. So thank you for joining. It's awesome. You're good seed.